Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, how you doing? This is Taino Radio, Radio Taino, and guess what? It's Wednesday night. You know what that means, right?
Bye.
Here we go, Taino Radio. This is San Accordion. Once again, I'm joined by Indy 41. This is Indigenous Power Hour Activism. What's up, 41?
It is a blessing to be here, and thank you, relatives of Turtle Island, who have turned in to join us and begin your healing process, you know?
It's all about the healing, right?
It is, you know, and we got a lot of healing to do. You know, the numbers of the boarding school children have raised again.
Tell us about it. What's going on?
Well, let me get to it. Let's see. So the last number count was 1505. And so far, that's only 7 schools that have been searched.
7 schools. Wow.
There are 497 schools to go.
Jeez. And these are all unmarked graves, right? These are hidden graves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hiding the evidence. Wow.
So,
That's sad.
It really is. And so I believe the new number, let me check that out. I believe it went up by 206. So let me see what, I believe that that's how it, let's see. I believe the number has gone up by 206 now.
206. Isn't that incredible? This is, you know, this, it's, you know, it's sadness, but it's also anger, you know, like, what the world? Where do we start?
Right. This is truly, you know, this is where we as Indigenous need to draw strength, because we remain despite their efforts to, you know, wipe us out. When these numbers come together, that will be almost an entire generation.
Look at that.
You know?
That is nuts.
And I'm begging, you know, relatives to not internalize it. It's going to be hard, but that's what you've been carrying with you all these years. This has been in our DNA. This is our trauma, you know? And you know, the fact is, we still remain. And that is strength that we alone as Indigenous carry.
Right.
No other group.
You know, genocide.
You know, no other group have they stuck, you know, tracking devices basically on, you know, because we're the only a group that has the registration number, you know, through our enrollment. So that's how they, you know, that's how they track us. You know?
That's it. Uh-huh. Enrollment number.
So, please draw strength from that. Don't, you know, don't internalize it anymore. I mean, we've been internalizing it all this time. You know? And,
Right.
Rosebud, you know, the tribe I'm from, Sitongu, Burnt Thai Nation. Today, some youth went up to Pennsylvania. You know, that's where Carlisle is. And so the disinterred remains of 9 of the native, you know, of the babies, you know, their internment, it starts. So some of the youth went up there, and I'm so proud of them. I'm just, you know, and you know, greeting
them
with song.
That's amazing.
You know, and that's all I've been encouraging, you know, is for us to get out there and sing those songs and receive those babies, and don't stop singing, don't stop drumming, and don't stop praying until every single one of them has come home. That's our job.
Right.
You know, that's our job as those who remain, you know, still living, you know, is to properly receive these children. And, you know, they deserve a warrior's receiving.
Definitely.
You know, and not sad songs, because we need to keep in mind the spirit of a child. And that, and they're not supposed to know the pain that those children went through, you know? That's not the pain we want them to, or, you know, them as our ancestors to remember. We need to receive them in, with songs of strength and you know, love and playfulness, because that's to a part of their memory of being a
child.
Right. You know? And it is, and it's going to be sad, and that is what, I hate to say it, but that is what they are preying on. They're preying that it beats us down even more. You know, this isn't, you know, by any means, you know, something of victory. You know, like we discussed a couple shows ago, this, with everything that's going on in the world right now, this is meant to keep us in that, you know, oppressed state. You know, that Stockholm syndrome, that survivor's guilt. And I'm drawing nothing but strength, you know. I'm not going to hang my head down low. And why I say we need to be out there receiving them and playing those drums and singing those songs and praying our prayers at the top of our lungs, not only for them to hear us, but for them to hear us. Because that's part of what they took from us. They took our voice. They took those religious practices that we had, you know, those ceremonies.
That's right.
They took the drum from us. And that's one thing they can't stand. They can't stand to see us or hear us. So play those drums. Sing them songs.
That's it.
It is.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm working on a show, but on Zoom, right before Columbus Day, right around October, early October. I'm working on a show on why Christopher Columbus should be outlawed, the holiday, and all statues.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to get evidence. I'm trying to get all the evidence I can gather. Why this historical figure should be outlawed, you know. So recently I was digging up some information, some journals, just on Columbus,
Yeah.
And I found out not only did they rape the children and rape the women, there was no discrimination on that one, the age, but what they did with the men, you know, there was a gold quota.
Speak on
they
it.
Found gold. Huh?
I said, speak on it.
Yep. It was 1 gram of gold per week was the quota for the men, right? And what happened was, you know, and they kept the women as sex slaves. But what happened was, if you didn't reach your quota, the very first act was cutting your nose. Cutting your nose. So Columbus made that a requirement so other people can see you without a nose. And that will motivate others to get that 1 gram a week of gold, which was like 15 hours a day of labor. 15 hours a day for 7 days. If not, your nose will be cut. And then eventually he will cut your hand, which to this day, Spanish, to this day, most historians think that was made up. But all this evidence of how they treated the children, how all the evidence is coming out. Yeah, they were brutal, man. These oppressors, they were brutal. But
that's where scalping comes from.
Yeah, they were brutal.
The Spaniards. Isn't that where that comes from?
Okay.
Scalping?
The scalping, right, yeah.
That isn't something we did. That's something them savages did. You know? We received them with open arms, and we fed them, and we gave them shelter.
Exactly.
We went into it believing that they had, you know, the same core beliefs that we did.
Yeah.
But we should have known. We should have known, you know. We created civilization.
Yeah, we were civilized. We had the values. We still do.
We had community. We had respect for our elders. You know, traditions, customs.
Yep. Hey, you know what's interesting? Last night we were talking about indigenous food, how it changed Europe. But we threw in a plant at the end, a plant that became the biggest insult in Native history. All Native peoples can identify with this, from Caribbean, South America, North America, Canada, you name it, and that's the plant that we call tobacco.
Yeah.
And look what the oppressor did with tobacco. Look what they did, a sacred plant.
We didn't even smoke it, right?
Well, the Taínos, we had two forms of tobacco that we either smoked socially, but also ceremonially. We had pipes too, and
sure.
And we had different mixtures for ceremony, and so on. But it's, you know, it's taken, brought to Europe, and look what happened. They took a sacred plant. What did they do? Right, the rest is history.
Carcinogenized it.
Well, that's it. So when is it going to stop? Well, the babies, these poor babies, they're innocent deaths, but they're reminding us, right? We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Right, and that's what it is. It isn't a victory, like I stated. This is, now we're going to give it to you. You're right. We're wrong. There's been no accountability up to this point. None. No one's taken any accountability. And,
well, the Pope hasn't apologized. The Pope hasn't apologized.
Oh, no. No.
So,
nobody has. Nobody has, not one of the nuns, not, you know, or family of, or the ministers or how whatever you call those people. I don't know. I just think it is a brutal way to take away the trust of such a, I don't know, institute, not saying the Catholics, but for that capacity, you know, for somebody in that position. So I don't even want to refer right. to it as, you know, religious, but somebody, you know, who may be, you know, a guidance to you, because that's what they were right. supposed to do. They were to educate our children, you know,
right.
whatever that was, whatever they, you know, blew smoke up in the air, you know, or whatever lie they told to get us to agree. Because that's the other part, is the accountability part on that is allowing it, you know?
Right.
And that's like a tough one.
Yeah. You know, I can't imagine going into a boarding school as a child and everything that you've been taught has been stripped. And one moment, it strips. And then they cut your hair. Then say you can't speak your language.
Nope.
And then once you resist, you get beaten. Or you're sexually assaulted. You know, they beat you down, man, you know. The power. Pedophiles, they use
or
power. Starve. It's all about power.
Or starve.
And they use... Starve. Yeah, they use these tools, man. It's like, with no regard. These poor children, right? But, you know what?
Poor children.
Their bones are rising up, right?
Exactly. And that's what we need to keep in mind. It isn't to remind us.
Mm-hmm.
It's to remind them that everything that they've thrown at us at this point, we ain't no weak people. And that's why they don't mess with us the way that they mess with others, because they know we will respond.
Right.
And they don't want that. You know what I mean?
Nah,
they want us to continue beating ourselves down and killing ourselves. Yeah. Great payback is to keep living. The great
That's
payback
right.
is to thrive, to be present.
To help one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we're not going to get through this if we don't. If we can't, you know, come together. You know, we've got to. We've got
well,
to have some type of solidarity.
Well, here's the hard part, really. I struggle with this because the other day someone was telling me, "Well, we have to figure it out. We have to learn somehow to unify somehow, right?" Someone was talking
right.
to me about that, and I said, "Hey, man, I'm all for it, but we have to filter who's the real people." We have to filter that out too, though. That's a process,
right?
Because you know, I refuse to unify with someone who's pumping drugs into the community or sexually assaulting our children, you know. And they pass as leaders. I'm not going to unify with them. What do you think about that? I got the person.
Well, I just know that. That ain't for us to worry about. You know, there's always
mm-hmm.
going to be those that are our own. You know, they're going to try to throw a monkey wrench into it somehow.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
And this is the one thing I do know about beings. I'm not going to use the human being reference because we know
mm-hmm.
what human being means in its Latinist origin. It means animal. So let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's right. We are animals, all right? That's right.
You know?
Some of us are furry. Some of us are furry.
some of us, right? But what I do know about us is we have a natural segregation. There was never no need to segregate us, a forced segregation, because we as beings, we naturally segregate to our own. I don't even want to use segregate. I should say elevate towards. How's that?
That's nice.
Gravitate.
Gravitate,
you know?
Okay.
So that's it, you know, that's just the role in life, you know?
Yep.
Now we're thinking too much. Taking too much and take it for, you know, the you know, you'll know who is and who isn't. You got some pretty good eyes there, Spencer Corey.
Well, that's the thing, you know, there's a lot of infiltration going on, you know, and a lot of these people I don't trust. And we have to teach the people to filter it, you know, we have to be careful for the sake of the children, sick of the women.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
We do. We do. And that's just going to have to be in those teachings, you know. We've got to become the teachers. See, we ain't got no heroes, a generation above us.
Right.
We're the new heroes. We're the new, you know, leaders.
That's it.
And we've got to take this role very seriously because we got a future. And in the future,
there
are indigenous too.
That's right. For one, I'll be back. Keep it rolling. I got some speedo issues. Hold on. I'll be right back. But keep it rolling.
All right.
Keep that drum rolling.
All right. Turtle Island, you know, it's time to hang those egos up, hang our tribes up at the door. You know, if we want the solidarity, we gonna have to, you know, it's not going to be an easy process, and neither is this healing. It's a work in progress, but it's something that we can obtain. It's something that we can accomplish, you know. There's nothing more that I want than to heal so that my mother can heal, so that her mother can heal and her mother can heal. It's going to be important that we educate ourselves. It's how else I can explain it is going back to that original touch. You know, that first touch before anything touched us or anybody, anyone, anything, any. That was from the Creator. We need to go back to that point. Remember to remember who we are. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get out there and network. And you know, we've got different medias. We have different platforms now. You know? Don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, we can't have an independent spirit right now, thinking that we can, you know, we don't need nobody's help because we need help. We are the medicine. You know? It's going to be tough work, but so far in life, there hasn't been nothing that we haven't been able to accomplish. I have faith in my relatives. You're such strong, courageous beings. And we've got to not only do this for ourselves, we need to do it for our children, our future, but also those ancestors that we're always calling on. And I think sometimes, you know, especially in SWED or, you know, some of the other, you know, traditions that we have, sometimes I think when we call on our ancestors, that unhealed trauma comes with them. And I've been in ceremony, I've been in the sweat, and I've asked that only my spirit be present in those in the sweat. And I've asked ancestors, you know, not to be called in because of that unhealed trauma. Not that, you know, I think it comes every time, but it's a possibility. Yes.
Definitely a possibility.
Figure it out.
For one,
figure it out.
We got some.
Yes,
we got some breaking news from Arkansas. I have a caller from Arkansas. Her name is Angela, and she wants to share some breaking news that occurred last night. Okay, highlights Native. Hold on a second. Let me connect her. This definitely highlights Indigenous unity. So let me put her on. 3, 2, 1. Angela, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on. Now, I live in two states,
awesome.
In Oklahoma and Arkansas. And I don't know if you're familiar with the McGirt decision. It was a Supreme Court decision regarding basically Northeast Oklahoma. It had to do with the treaties. And it's now sovereign land. It's sovereign land in Northeast Oklahoma, which has affected the court system. Because if a person is a defendant, or what do they call the other person? If they're involved in a crime and they're Native American, it automatically has to go to, say, a Cherokee court, Creek court, or maybe even federal court, which they have many different federal courts in Oklahoma. So that's not a problem. But last night they had a panel discussion. I'll try to wrap it up a little bit. The governor, his name is Stitt, S-T-I-T-T, and he decided he was going to have a panel discussion in Tulsa about the McGirt decision regarding victims. Well, he didn't invite anybody from the sovereign nation to be on that panel.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long line of white faces. I have a daughter who is Kitua Cherokee, and so that's why this matters to me. You know, and I'm activist. I do a lot of different things behind the scenes. And I saw so many of my friends. Brenda Golden, she's an attorney, formerly an attorney for the Creek Nation. She just has her own practice now. She organized a demonstration, and I talked to her yesterday morning. She had no idea so many people would show up. And we're talking Native people, mainly Native people showed up and filled this room to where it was standing room only. So Brenda Golden, she's on Facebook. And there's a man that did a live stream, and I believe it's public. His name is Jess, J-E-S-S, Eddie, E-D-D-Y. He's an activist from Oklahoma City, and he goes to a lot of different places, and he streams.
Wonderful.
You'll find it on Twitter. I mean, if you want to feel encouraged, if you want to feel inspired, watch that stream. He was booed off of the stage.
What
about that? The governor was booed off of the stage, and they had to bring in security because they thought people were going to rush the governor because it was lie after lie. You know, when he started talking about, you know, we don't have enough federal courts, that was a bold-faced lie. We have more federal courts in Oklahoma than most states do. And I'm not an attorney or a legal consultant, but I pay attention. And so I'm asking to you, different Native nations, you know, to pay attention to this. you know, I'm hoping and praying. I don't know the specifics about the McGirt, M-C-G-I-R-T, McGirt decision, but maybe it can apply to one of your nations. I don't know. But I'm hoping they'll use that decision as a basis to get land back, to get sovereignty back. I mean, I'm kind of encouraged here. Do you have questions?
Wow. Well, can I just say that the sponsor of this Taino Radio, we're indigenous to the islands of the Caribbean, and that's what we're trying to do. Arayeke Yukayek, we're trying to get tribal sovereignty back to the islands. And, wow, this is, you know,
what
Puerto Rico
Ada
especially.
Deer?
Because,
have you talked to Ada Deer? The Menominee tribe. Like I say, I pay attention.
No.
And my mother's tribe is Menominee. Ada Deer got their sovereignty back, and that was in 1974. And she's still a law professor. She's amazing. But if you're looking for something like that, that might be a good resource for you. Ada, A-D-A, and then Deer. She was actually appointed to a federal position by then President Clinton. With the BIA, is that what it's called,
right.
BIA? Like I said, I'm not an attorney,
right.
But I pay attention.
Sure.
Okay, so the McGirt versus Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
591 U.S. Was a landmark United States Supreme Court case which ruled that as pertaining to the Major Crimes Act, much of the eastern portion of the state of Oklahoma remains as native land of the prior Indian reservation of the five civilized tribes, never disestablished by Congress as part of the Oklahoma Enabling Act of 1906.
Yes.
As such, persecutions of crime by Native Americans on these lands falls into the jurisdiction of the tribal court and federal judiciary under the Major Crimes Act rather than Oklahoma's court. So that,
I never thought in my lifetime that something like that would happen. And just, this is good for all different nations, sovereign nations, Native nations.
Sure.
That is. So
this
I'm just,
right? This is good.
It's amazing.
It's powerful.
But it has
powerful.
Affected a lot of people that have been convicted of, say, murder, they've been transferred, if they're Native American, they've been transferred to a federal prison. So they're acting like that everybody's being let loose. No, they haven't. But they will be retried. And the people will just have to get over it. I hate to be cold about it, but, you know, sometimes there's a shift in our culture. And it's difficult for some people to adjust. This is a shift. It's a good one.
Well, not only that, but shouldn't these crimes be in, you know, tribal court if
tribal.
It is pertaining to, right, to
it depends.
Tribal members?
Is it? It depends on the type of crime. Now, murder, and again, I'm not a legal consultant, but I watch what my friends that are attorneys say. If it's a murder, it goes to federal court. And like I said, we have more federal court in Oklahoma than most states. Also, the Tulsa DA got up there and showed his butt. I mean, man, last year he only had a 37% conviction rate. And he's acting like the tribe, you know, that the court, the tribal courts can't handle it. He can't handle what he has. He can't get a conviction. And I used to document murder trials, and I'd watch this man in action. I don't know what's happened to him, but his conviction rate is way down, and he's a failure. He is an utter failure right now.
Well, look at that.
So but those are my two cents I probably shouldn't have said, but, you know, it is what it is. 37% conviction rate. That's sad. And he has money to persecute. I mean, he's got money for, you know, testing and all that good stuff that maybe the rural counties can't do. Tulsa is about 1 million people now from the last census. It's a big place. And 37%
sure.
conviction rate. That's pathetic. You know, and he's trying to
it
tell
is.
The tribes how things could go. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And he was booed also. I mean, there was a lot of booing and saying liar, lie, and people going right up to the front, and that was Red Bear. He's an elder. I forget what tribal nation he's with. He started talking about how they took his language away from his daughter. You know, I mean, just it was emotional. It was real. But Brenda Golden is a good one to watch. Again, she's an attorney or had been a former attorney with the Creek Nation and has her own practice. She's amazing, by the way. She is amazing. Just, I'm a fan.
That's wonderful.
So,
and what's your name
I'm
again?
I'm sorry for talking so much. My name is Angela. I live in,
Angela?
Right now I'm in Arkansas, and I watched the live streams last night. If you just want to feel good, and Jess Eddy on his stream, the meeting starts about 7 minutes in. They have like a demonstration before the meeting, and he's like walking around talking to people. And a lot of the activists, we know each other. We stay connected, but we all have our different things that we do. So I just,
that's great.
Wow. I think it
that's
will
awesome.
Help people to feel encouraged. And maybe through that Supreme Court decision that she was kind enough to read. And, man, thank you. Thank you so much for reading that. That just, it does my heart good to hear it. You know, just, it makes me feel like all the work. Yeah. This makes me feel like all the work that different activists have been doing and attorneys and the sovereign nations, the Cherokee Nation especially, and the McGirt decision, it's been worth it. Because sometimes I feel like nothing that we do is making a difference. And this is something we can all rejoice in. Well, I'm concluded. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer. And I'm sorry, I'm just really excited. I'm just so excited.
Great.
You know, this is amazing.
Great.
It is. Yeah, it's on all the news stations in Tulsa, like Channel 2, 8, the Fox, it's Fox 23. I don't know if they have the full live stream, but Jeff Eddy on Facebook does. And there's some guy that got a really good video. It's on Twitter, and I'm forgetting his name, but on Paul Tay, P-A-U-L, Tay, T-A-Y. He's kind of an aggressive activist, but it sure encouraged people in the audience. It sure did. You know, and I'm telling you, they brought in a lot of security. I just, even tribal security came in, you know.
Wow, look at that.
I mean, if you hear lie after lie after lie, you know it's a lie, and they're trying to say the Supreme Court decision doesn't really matter, basically. I'm paraphrasing. It really made them angry. Then they started talking about the victims, and they weren't acknowledging that the tribal nations had been victimized for hundreds of years, you know, and just, whoa, concluded.
You know, 4-1, you know, 4-1, this reminds me of that famous case, that Lakota medicine man, Douglas White.
Yeah.
Right. He was an apprentice of Frank Fool's Crow, and he was found innocent in tribal court of molesting his two grandchildren. And then the federal court picked it up. The federal court picked up the case.
Oh,
and
wow.
They found him guilty. And the federal court had more leeway in how to, you know, get witnesses, whatever. And then
wow.
And he spent 15 years in federal penitentiary. And the only thing he asked to bring with him was his pipe. And the famous movie on this called the Douglas White USA versus Douglas White, and
Douglas White,
and he died.
Okay.
Yeah, and he died in jail because the feds refused. He got cancer at the end, and they refused to let him go and die on the res. But that's that whole double jeopardy thing, you know. Where so imagine if he was living now. That never would have happened. I don't know. That's what I'm
well,
thinking.
Well, this pertains to northeast Oklahoma. My hope,
yeah,
my prayer
is
that they can do it in different sovereign nations can use that as a basis if they were not. What was the word? I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't know your name. That Congress never disenfranchised them. Was that the word? Or
yeah. Let me see what it is. It is
dissolved or
no.
It
is.
Word.
Let me see.
Again,
what was that word?
Consultant.
It is. Let's see. Pertaining to, let's see, pull it up again.
Okay. I cannot tell you how amazing it was last night.
Let's see.
Yeah,
filling in while I'm looking it up.
Disestablished.
Oh.
By Congress. It says that the United States Supreme Court case, which ruled that as pertaining to the Major Crimes Act, much of the eastern portion of the state of Oklahoma remains as native land of the prior Indian reservation of the five civilized tribes, never disestablished by Congress as part of the Oklahoma Enabling Act of 1906.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And the dog roll was 1907, so that makes complete sense.
Yep,
they thought they were above the law then, and they still think they're above the law now.
That was Kansas, Nebraska. Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, by the way, the Douglas White case, tribal court got it correct. When the grandchildren were adults, they confessed that they were lying, that the parents forced them to lie.
They probably got pressured.
Well, they did. It was a whole movie on that. But the tribal court got it correct, and the federal courts were like a kangaroo court. They set them up. So
yeah,
you can imagine how many people.
There will be a case. There'll be a case in Tulsa that they'll be talking about, the Kepler case. I think he's Cherokee Nation, Cherokee or Creek. And he was tried four different times because every time the jury couldn't come to a decision. Kepler, K-E-P-L-E-R. Sorry?
Let's say it again. I'm sorry.
There's going to be one case that they're going to talk a lot about. And that's the Kepler, K-E-P-L-E-R, and he murdered his daughter's boyfriend. And I sat in on this. There was four times they tried him, and I sat in on three of the murder trials as an activist because it was a hate crime. The young man was Native, and he was white, but they didn't get a conviction to the fourth time. Remember, this is the Tulsa DA that has a 37% conviction rate. He had to try this trial four times to get a conviction. So he will probably go to a tribal court, but it's a murder case. So, and I watched the evidence. If I was a juror, I would have voted to convict because of the evidence that was there and his own testimony, which, I mean, I thought that was an idiot move to let him testify. You know, he even got up off the chair, and he's a police officer too, or was, and he got down like, you know, how a police officer will shoot. I mean, it was the creepiest feeling. I don't know what that attorney was putting him on the witness stand. But that one you may hear a lot about Tulsa and the McGirt decision. They're going to use that. I bet you anything they're going to use that.
I want to research this then. Maybe we can help get our land back in Caribbean.
Well, I mean, there's hope. There is hope. And Ada Deer, she was the head of the BIA when Clinton, I think it was 1992. My mother's part of that tribe. That's why I remember so well about Ada Deer. and she's a well-known speaker. She's amazing. She still talks to different tribal representatives. Like my, I have a friend, her name's Kaylin Free. She is the DNC representative, female representative for the state of Oklahoma. Definitely Cherokee. You know, she's amazing. And that's one of her good friends. And she really, I wish I could meet her one day. That's like on my bucket list to meet her. You know, because she looks so much like my mother. She looks so much like my mother.
Well, it's that DNA.
I don't know what
DNA.
Else I can say. But I hope this helps people to be inspired and watch that group of people. It was well over 100 in this room, maybe 200. The people were standing in the back because there wasn't enough chairs, and the majority were Native and different Chief Hoskin, former Chief Gray of the Osage Tribe.
You had Muskogee there.
Yes, Muskogee Creek. And if I'm not saying that right, I apologize. Chickasaw
and Osage.
Choctaw.
Yeah, well, and if we're talking about any of the, you know, the five civilized tribes too, you know.
Well, I'm just talking about the ones that were there in the room that I knew,
were
there.
Well, I'm saying that,
and they didn't let them
talk. That might have showed up. You
and
know,
they didn't give them a seat at the table. They did not give them a seat. I'm so angry about that. You know, how can you have a discussion without talking to the sovereign nation? How? I'm just.
Wow.
I
sounds
don't
like.
Know.
Well,
sounds look,
like
at, status look at quo. Look at.
And my anger
opinion,
was nothing
know?
Compared to them. My anger was nothing compared to the crowd that was there. We're talking loud yelling. You know, people from AIM were there. I just.
Oh, AIM was there?
Yeah, they have a chapter in Tulsa. Excuse me. There's a young man that is very active in it, and I forget his name, but he was walking around. He was helping the elders. There was a man that was in a wheelchair, that type of thing. I mean, people really showed up, and a lot of the
That's
women. Great. Yes, and they turned their back at one point on the governor. Excuse me, I'm outside, and just I think I swallowed a bug. A lot of fireflies around here.
Oh, really?
Life happens, and it's beautiful in Arkansas. Beautiful.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah. So what do you think, 401?
What do I think? I think... that change is coming.
Change is coming.
That change
yeah.
that we've been asking for, that we've been praying for, I think it's coming.
Definitely. It's coming. Well, we got to be ready. We were talking about that unity before, right? Yeah, that right unity, the genuine unity. People standing up for the rights, standing up for their own history.
And we're the golden. Brenda Golden might be a really good interview, you know, if you delve into this.
Because
she is an attorney.
Rita?
Brenda, B-R-E-N-D-A, and then Golden, like gold, and then N, G-O-L-D-E-N, Brenda Golden. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, it's Brenda S, as in Sam, Golden. She puts initial in there.
Is she a part of a sovereign nation?
She had been with an attorney for the Creek Nation previously. She has her own, what do you call that? When you have your own thing, you're an attorney. Her own firm, private practice, that's it. And she led that demonstration. She's led other demonstrations, like on missing indigenous women, which is a problem in Oklahoma. I guess it's a problem everywhere, but she doesn't sit on the sidelines. She ran for office, but there was a lot of people running for that office. But she would be a knowledgeable person to talk about McGirt, and if she couldn't interview, she would give you a recommendation to someone else. but I think it's something we really need to talk about to give other people the idea to file. You know, maybe there's other nations where it wasn't de-established, you know. And if it wasn't de-established by Congress, it's still sovereign land. I mean, I'm not the smartest person, but I can figure that out, you know, just from what I've heard my friends say and just what she had said when she read part of the decision.
Well,
which,
that was, you know, a recent decision, Oklahoma,
yeah.
With the land back there, you know, with the
1906.
Yeah, but, you know, they just got some land given back just last year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Osage Nation,
you know,
has been in a fight for a very long time. I don't know the specifics of their lawsuit.
Osage, they had, at one point, they were considered, gone. You know? And
just like the Menominee tribe, it had to be reestablished. And that was in 1974. Jim Gray, J-I-M Gray, he's one of the former chiefs. His brother, Lewis, was also a chief of the same tribe, Osage. Yeah, those might be really good interviews as well, because they're very involved with the McGirt as well, that nation, Osage Nation.
All right, we got to look
And Jim's
up.
Really
I
funny. Jim is so funny. I like reading his Facebook posts. I'm an old person that still uses Facebook. So,
that's right. Angela, what's your last name so I can look you up? I can look you up on Facebook. What's Angela? What's your last name?
I'll spell it. Utley. U as in uncle. T as in Thomas. L-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
I come from
a
colonizing family. I apologize. So.
That's all right. You're helping out. You're helping the cause.
Yeah.
Dude, that's good. You apologize.
My family did a lot of bad things.
Well, we're trying to get the Pope to apologize, but he's not apologizing, the Pope, for the atrocities.
Oh, that's the Pope's in a different world.
So you're a bigger person than the Pope. You're a bigger person than the Pope. Look at that.
Well,
right
at least
Taino
I can
Radio.
Acknowledge, when I researched my family, it was very difficult to swallow what my family had done. We were even neighbors to Patrick Jefferson. He surveyed our land. And he had a son named Thomas. I mean, when I checked, we were part of the original. We are. We also gambled a lot. You know, there was a lot of land lost. I found that out. And my brother used to gamble over six figures he lost. And I don't get it. You know, some things I think just travel for generations. So,
Angela, my pen wasn't working. Can you repeat your last name again?
Sure.
You?
My last name is Utley. U is in uncle. T is in Thomas. L-E-Y.
Perfect. Oh, Utley. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's not a common name. It's English.
Cool. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to reach out to you and get some of those recommendations, those names. So you said the chiefs and all
I
that stuff.
I can
send
you links to those different people and... Because I think people should be encouraged, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Just I'm not, like I said, I'm not a legal consultant, but I think other people could use this as a basis of maybe getting their sovereign land or rights back. You know, something.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, fight is hard. That fight is hard. But I want people to be encouraged. And I was listening. To even your opening song, was that Gray Horse?
Cree. Oh, it's Cree. Northern Cree.
Northern Cree.
That's cool.
MMIW. MMIW song by Cree Nation. Northern Cree.
That
and
is
you
awesome.
Know, and I just want to, you know, thank you for. Tuning in and speaking and sharing that information and even going as far as, you know, apologizing. I mean, that took a lot of courage. You know,
well,
because
to me, that courage is the right thing to do. You know,
it
I,
is.
You know,
and
just looking back.
And I thank you. Because,
and
you know,
white people that are
your
listening.
People, your people, too. I mean, this is what, you know, this is what colonizers have done to their own. It isn't like
mm-hmm.
you guys don't need to go through a decolonizing process. You
well,
know?
I think we do, honestly, because
absolutely.
A lot of things are passed down through the generation. When, you know, they want to speak up for Black Lives Matter, you know, or, you know, all these different movements. But when it comes down to it, they know that they can always walk away. Or they'll start diminishing them. Well, that happens to them, not us. You know, well, thank God I got my job, that I can get a job. You know they're thinking it. I've got it. You know, well, I'm glad that I got a leg up, or I can walk through doors. I've said this out loud. I can walk through doors that others cannot. And I come from a political family on my mom's side.
Wow.
But that's privilege. As a matter of fact,
really,
do we have time for a small story?
Sure. We got one more story. Yep.
Okay.
It's always a good day story.
When I was younger, in my 20s, I got pulled over, and we had inspection stickers, and I had forgotten to pay the $10 fine. I fixed it the next day but forgot to pay the $10 fine. Well, I got arrested, and I got released within 45 minutes, and that's not normal. I go before the judge a couple days later. And she chews out a guy, and he happened to be Native American, in front of me. Mm. I think it was some misdemeanor. Yeah, you need to straighten up your life. And then a lot of talk about drinking. And I'm like, my knees are knocking. I'm probably 24, I think I was. And I got up there, and I told her that when my father had passed away, he used to pay these small bills for me. You know what that judge did?
What's
well,
that?
Tore it up.
What that judge did, after chewing out the guy in front of me real bad, she apologized to me. I'm sorry, Miss Utley. This should never have happened to you. Now look at my friend who's sitting over there. I'm like, is this happening? But that's privilege. That's Oklahoma.
What?
Even when I got arrested, the partner rode him back. I got to ride up front. That's not normal. But
wow.
In our world, that happens often. You know, they didn't put handcuffs on me. They didn't do anything like that. That's
yeah,
not
white,
normal. That is privilege. So white people, if you've experienced anything like this where you could walk through doors that others could not, or you've had, you know, things were much better for you than, say, the guy in front of you, that's privilege. So conclude.
Definitely.
It is a story I can tell to express.
It's
you know,
not only that,
people
but it's sharing. Well, and it's sharing and it's calling out, you know, because there's a lot of white folks or whatever that claim there is no, you know, privilege.
They just
you
don't
know,
realize.
I just think they're in denial.
But
you know?
If you're living in that world all the time and it's black and white, and let's say the color is a challenge and you've never seen any color, you've never really had real challenges, like, you know, the lights are off or the water's off, you know, poverty, you know, or not being able to get a job because your name's too ethnic. They don't have those problems. And that's just the truth of the matter. And I'm not
that's
saying
right.
that you have to bow down to other people. But recognize and acknowledge it. And when you have a chance to apologize, it may mean a lot. Like when I know my family, they were early colonizers. They were on the James River even. You know, I mean, we're talking they are one of the original, not Mayflower,
right.
but like two trips after Mayflower.
Right.
And I laugh because I get nervous talking about it. So I don't mean to diminish it. But my family should have never been here. My family should never have been here. But
wow.
I'm here trying to pay my bills, Yeah, I try to make sure I have food for my kid and pay her medical bills. And, you know, life can be a struggle. But it's never the
Definitely.
Struggle of someone of a minority. When you're white, you don't have the struggles they have.
You know, I remember many years ago we made a joke. We were working at a museum. I was a security guard, right? And most of the security guards
mm-hmm.
were people of color, right? And
okay.
But we all needed college degrees to get the job, which was crazy, you know. But mostly people of color. So we're all educated. So there was the next hiring class were mostly white guards, white American, right? So I remember one of our guards who was a comedian. He was a real comedian, but you know he worked as a guard, right? So the first thing he said was, "Yo, what are all these white guards doing here? Yeah, like what they're doing here? That like, you know, they don't have an excuse. They're white. What's going on?" So we all started laughing, like, because it was like we had that. Oh, what is it? Like as a person of color, you see a white person in kind of a low-level job, like security in that sense, you know, the paying job is low, I should say. We were all, like, in shock. Like, what are all these white guards doing here, you know? Like, wait a minute. They're white.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be here. and some
That's
actually feel bad for them. And some feel bad for them, like some of the guard, you know, some of the Latino guards or the black guards that were like, you know, oh, man, I feel bad for them. It's like, what, man? Don't hang your head low. We're all working. We're trying to pay the bills, right? So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just a crazy experience. It was so funny. Like my comedian friend. Hey, they got no excuse. What are they doing here?
That's funny.
It was funny, man. But you know what? We ran out of time. We're over time right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize. I've been so excited, and I don't usually overtalk people. I know I have tonight, so I apologize.
No, that's all right. You brought good news. You were the breaking news reporter from Arkansas,
well,
right?
I watched streams. I watched my friends that were doing that were live streaming. I'm like, yes.
That's wonderful.
I like actually waved at my phone. You know. Because some of these people, because of COVID, I haven't seen them in a while. It was just like Brenda.
Thing,
I haven't
yeah.
seen her in a while. So I'll see her on the 31st, hopefully, if I make it to
yeah.
Shawnee. So the Democratic convention reconvene. But I really encourage
cool.
people to get involved. You know, if you don't have a place at the table, you are the meal. And people need to remember that.
Well,
you
got to
show up.
Well,
if you don't have a place at the table, you are the meal. You got to show up. You know, even if it's on Facebook, you're watching a live stream and you're encouraging people to speak up and have their voice. You know, don't let them mute your voice. Don't let them do that. And that's what they were doing last night. They were standing up. They were speaking out, speaking the truth. And let me tell you one thing. Truth is the best defense. And it was being spoken last night, like the language it is.
Mm, that's awesome. All right, well, we're going to close up the show.
Well,
4-1,
thank
you
for having
me on. Yeah, no, that's it. 4-1, you got any closing remarks? As I close,
I do. I just want to encourage my relatives and our allies. We got some healing to do, and do not internalize, you know, the findings of these children any longer. Like I said, that's already in our DNA. We've been mourning them. We've been mourning them since the day they left our lives. Draw strength from it. And I want to send a birthday shout out. You know, our guest, Quilla Pisa. The MMIW face. It's her birthday, my sacred sister's birthday. So I just wanted to send her a shout out. And,
oh, nice.
Yes. And, you know, we remain citizens of Turtle Island.
That's it. Good old Turtle Island. You want me to play that last song, Higher Up?
Absolutely, yes, yes.
All right, so we'll finish up with your song, Higher Up. See you next Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you all for tuning in. And this is Taino Radio. This is the Indigenous Power Hour Activism. Thank you, Angela. Thank you all for listening.
Trust me, I can take you higher.